Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Receive the gift from the captives, from Heldai, Tobijah, and Jedidiah, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both.'" So far from the text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, the branch from the stem of Jesse, differently redeemed. Perhaps some of you recognize that this hymn we just finished singing was a Christmas carol. I didn't choose it because I wanted to rush the Christmas season any, but because it uses the name Branch, the same name that Zechariah uses here in our sermon text. If you already read the back of this morning's bulletin in the Zechariah overview, you'll have read that Zechariah is a prophet the same time as Haggai and Ezra, whom we've been studying the last several weeks. Our text tells us that Zechariah received an offering from the Jews that remained in Babylon to take to Israel. He was to take that offering, and was to make an ornate crown, and then place that crown upon the head of the high priest, a man named Joshua. We talked about Joshua 2 weeks ago in our study of the prophets of Haggai. Now, this is a very strange thing. In fact, it was not proper to do according to the Old Testament law. According to Old Testament law, priests were not to become kings. Neither were kings to become priests. These two offices, very important offices in the Old Testament, were to be kept separate, kind of like our separation of church and state. Priests were to come from the tribe of Levi, and kings were to come from the tribe of Judah. Do you remember the time when King Saul offered up a sacrifice before he went to battle? The prophet and priest Samuel, by command of the Lord, told Saul, "Do not go to battle till I come and offer a sacrifice." Well, Samuel didn't come, and the soldiers began getting tired. Some were going home, and so Saul took it upon himself to offer the sacrifice. When Samuel got there, he said, "You have disobeyed the Lord." And that was the beginning of Saul's demise as king, and his kingdom was finally taken away from him. His sons didn't rule, but David became the next king. There's another episode in the Old Testament when King Uzziah went into the temple, usurped the authority of the priest, and offered a sacrifice, and immediately he was struck down with leprosy. God was serious about keeping these two offices, priest and king, separate from each other. But now, we see God commanding Zechariah to take a crown and place it upon the head of the high priest. Why? Well, because God commanded it, it can't be wrong. But the reason God commanded it was to be a symbolical picture, a picture of one who was to come, a future man, who would be both priest and king in one person. When Zechariah took that crown and placed it on the head of Joshua, he prophesied. And the first thing he said was, "Behold, the man whose name is the branch." Behold means look, the man whose name is the branch. Well, the high priest's name was Joshua. Was Zechariah giving him a nickname? Or was that his nickname? No. Zechariah is prophesying, saying that this man here, Joshua, is a type or picture of the man who is the branch. The branch. If you looked in your bulletin already this morning, you saw in the sermon theme, this branch would be both king and priest. And who's that branch? We heard in our sermon introductions this morning, in Christ Jesus, the branch from the stem of Jesse. We just finished singing in the hymn, the very first verse, "Behold, a branch is growing of loveliest form and grace, as prophet's son foreknowing, it springs from Jesse's race." Those words are a direct quote from Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. We read, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." It was the prophet Isaiah who first called the Messiah the branch. In chapter 4, verse 2, we read, "In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious." Jeremiah follows up also by calling the Messiah branch. In chapter 23 of Jeremiah's book, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." And Zechariah, the Lord through him, in chapter 3 of his book, says this to Joshua, "Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch." So Joshua the high priest, together with all the other priests of the Old Testament, were a type or a picture or a symbol of the branch. Jesus himself. But the symbol goes even further than that. What was this priest's name? Joshua. The same name as the man who led the children of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land. The name Joshua in the Hebrew means Jehovah saves. There's a Greek equivalent to that name. That's Jesus. For Jesus means Jehovah saves. There are three important things mentioned about this branch, this man named Branch in our text. The first is that he branches out, or he sprouts forth from lowliness. The word here doesn't mean a twig. It doesn't mean a branch growing in high in the tree. It means a sprout that grows from the side of a stump. A stump that's cut down, and then suddenly from the side, a branch begins to grow. The stump is symbolical of the family of David. David's family was once a great and powerful tree in the Old Testament. In Solomon, the kingdom extended away from north of Dan all the way to Beersheba, almost to Egypt. But then, Israel lost their kings. It was cut down like a stump. But from that stump came this little shoot, this little branch that became a great, powerful branch. And of course is Jesus. Jesus' mother Mary was from the tribe of Judah, David's line. His stepfather Joseph was also from the tribe of Judah, David's line. Therefore, physically and legally, he was one of David's descendants. He rose up, and his kingdom became greater than David's kingdom, for he rules all things. He came out of the stump, because at the time Jesus was born, David was just a history person. His family held no influence any longer. Zechariah goes on to say that this branch will be unique in all the history of the world. The two highest offices of the Old Testament, priest and king, will be controlled by this one person. That's the second point. He builds his church as a priest, and he's built his church also as a king. That's what the symbolism of Zechariah's crowning the priest was all about. Joshua wasn't going to be a king. Joshua was a symbol of this priest-king who was to come, the branch, Jesus Christ. He was the New Testament priest who would end the line of the priesthood. Jesus was also the New Testament king Israel no longer needed any more kings. It all come to an end. Through these two offices, Jesus would build his church. As a high priest, Jesus intercedes for us, even as the priests prayed for the people. But priests did more than that. They also offered him sacrifices. So Jesus was our priest. He offered him a sacrifice. But he was the priest and the offering. He was the sacrifice. He offered himself as our sacrifice. The author of the Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 7, also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. And then the author of the Hebrews continues in chapter 9, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. His perfect life, his suffering and death upon the cross, through that Jesus sanctified for himself his own special people. Our high priest has established his church, and it rests upon him, upon his atoning sacrifice, upon his powerful word. And our priest today, Jesus, is still working. He takes your prayers to the Heavenly Father. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. There's only one mediator between God and men. There is no other. But this man named Branch also fulfills his office as king. As king, he's been raised above all rule and authority. He rules all the affairs of heaven and earth. He has conquered sin, death, Satan, and hell. And since he rules all things, it means he rules over you. And he rules over me. He rules over all people. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus' rule over you and me is not as one as a tyrant, ruling with his laws and his threats and condemnation, but with his love and his promises and his forgiveness. When we're brought to faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're brought into his kingdom. His kingdom, we become his servants who are ruled lovingly by one thing, his powerful word. So as our high priest, Jesus has saved us from all our sins. He's taken away the fear of death from us. He's conquered Satan, abolished hell for us. As our king, he rules over us, guides us, protects us, takes care of us day after day with his powerful word and his holy angels. What a tremendous kingdom church we've been called into. And finally, Zechariah tells us that this man named Branch brings peace and harmony, not only to his two offices, priest and king, combining the one, but also peace and harmony with God and among each other. We now have the eternal blood-bought peace with our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is perfect and righteous. We are sinful, filled with sin, dead in sins outside of Christ. And yet, because of Christ, God looks at you and at me and sees Christ Jesus. He lovingly has declared us to be not guilty, righteous of all of our sins. Again, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has been made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Before our Savior visibly left this earth and ascended to heaven, he declared to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What an amazing thing. We have peace. But it needs to be asked, why do we see so much unrest, disharmony, warfare throughout the world? Why are there so many problems in families between parents and children? Why do so many marriages fail and loving relationships split up? Why is there evil all around the world? Why is there so much strife and dissension and wars between groups of people and nations? You know the answer. It's very, very simple. The answer is sin. Sin sets man against God. Sin sets man against God's creation. Sin sets man against his fellow man. Sin sets man against his family. Sin even sets man against himself. Only when sin is removed through Christ's forgiveness, earned for us on the cross, can peace begin to fill the heart and life of the individual, of the family, of the marriage, of the group, and of the nation. This peace is the oneness that we have between our Heavenly Father and us. Sinners though we are, God sees us as righteous in Christ because our sins have been removed, paid for in full. This peace we have, a spiritual peace, that leads us in peace and harmony to live together with one another. May Christ's forgiving love fill our hearts with this peace, so in thankful love we will serve and honor and worship our priest and our King Jesus Christ, and be motivated also to serve and love one another. Amen.